Good morning.
Good morning.
God bless you for weathering this huge snowstorm out there. Not that bad. But I'm grateful you're here and you're here safely. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Today's gospel is a beautiful piece of scripture. It explains to us, or at least illustrates to us, this war, this tension that exists between physical sight and spiritual sight. If not a tension, at least a confusion in the minds and the hearts and the eyes of the people. Physical blindness is pretty easy to detect. If you see someone that's blind, it's apparent. There's a man who walks around our neighborhood with the typical long white cane, and it amazes me how he's able to be out there exercising continually without being able to see. If you have a blindness, well, that's pretty obvious as well. Sometimes there are corrective measures that are available for the blind. I've got mine right here. That's my prescription from Target Optical. I went last week because my eyes are starting to get a little bit worse. I didn't start wearing glasses until later in life, but they seem to be moving and not in the right direction. And so you sit in that chair in the dark room, and you put your nose up against that machine, and then you look at letters, and they click little dials. You don't see what's happening outside, but from the perspective, you begin to see a little bit better. And so the doctor is able to write a prescription so that you can have your sight corrected. They aren't doing anything on the inside. There's no cure that's taking place. Literally, it's a cover-up of what's actually happening. But the cover-up is good, and as I see, there are more than just myself who wear glasses. Spiritual blindness, I have to say, though, is altogether different. It's more tricky to identify. You need to see past and through and above the obvious in order to have spiritual sight. As an example, above the entrance to the monastery of St. Paul on the holy mountain of Mount Athos, there is inscribed, "If you die before you die, then you won't die when you die." I'll say that again. If you die before you die, then you won't die when you die. Now, when you hear or read this sentence with secular blind lenses, it makes absolutely no sense. What are you talking about, dying before I'm dying, and then I'm going to die again later, but I'm not really going to be dead because I died before I died? This is nonsense. It's some kind of a puzzle, though it's not a puzzle at all. With the spiritual lens, it's quite clear. Read through a clear spiritual vision, it makes absolute sense. If I give myself up to the Lord, if I die in Christ, if I participate in His glorious crucifixion and resurrection before I leave this earth, then at the time of my departure, I live. I reign with Him. I'm glorified with Him unto the ages. I can't die if I've already died in and through Him. Through the spiritual lens, a nonsensical phrase is glorious. Like in today's passage from the Gospel of Luke, we're commanded to look beyond the obvious. What is the obvious? A blind man who is a faithful beggar who strategically placed himself in the correct city at the correct time and on the correct street. Who, when finding out that this scuffle that was taking place was indeed Jesus, he called out to him. He shook off his detractors. They were telling him to be quiet, but he wasn't listening to them. He called out to Jesus all the more. He alone was the only person in that crowd that couldn't see Christ. He couldn't see the contour of his face. He couldn't detect the color of his robes. He couldn't see the length of his hair. Yet, He was the only one who could actually see the Christ. He called out to him as the Son of David. In other words, he was the one who recognized him as Savior, as Messiah, as the healer, as the worker of miracles. Indeed, he recognized him as God. So through planning and perseverance and spiritual sight, together with boldness and faith, his physical sight was restored. But again, that's what the obvious reads into this scripture. Read with physical eyes, heard with secular ears, and perceived by a nominal heart, anyone can understand that much of this gospel passage. But I'm asking us all to go deeper and let our spiritual eyes reveal to us the deeper truths and the richer meaning of this gospel. And it is this, that he was not the only one who received his sight on this day, but rather there were probably hundreds who received the miracle of sight. What did we read at the end of this passage that Luke chronicles for us? And all the people, when they saw it, what was it? A blind beggar receiving his sight and glorifying God for it. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise to God. And in giving him the proper praise for the miracle of sight, they also received their sight. But before this, this entire crowd was blind. Each and every one of them. Luke does not spare a single soul who saw what the blind man saw. When Bartimaeus asked to receive his sight, that's the name of the blind man as chronicled in the Gospel of Mark. He was asking what was happening, and they said, "Jesus of Nazareth is coming." They did not see or recognize the Messiah. They only saw a man that was identified by his region. Those who were in front of the blind man, who rebuked him for standing up and shouting, they were the most blind of all. Because why? They were indifferent to the suffering that was taking place just behind them. All they had to do was turn around. They had eyes. They could see what was happening, though they couldn't because they're spiritually blind. They were caught up in whatever manner of prestige would have put them on the front of the parade route. They were not able to understand their proper place in God's society. Their lack of understanding prohibited them from even witnessing at all who they came to see. Who they came to see. Who they were waiting to see. But they couldn't see him. Christ was spiritually invisible to them. He was cloaked. He was hidden. He was stealthily disguised from their recognition. Until the healing of the blind man restored their vision. And they gave praises to God. Luke tells us that now they have vision. Now they perceive depth. Now they can appreciate the nuance of color. Now they can see texture. Now they witness salvation. So this red packet right here contains, at least for me, corrective measures for failing vision. Again, as I said, it's not a cure. It's only external. It's an external manipulation, actually, of a worsening problem with my eyes. But the glorification of Christ, the perceiving of God's power within you, the appreciation of the sacraments that are celebrated for you, and the removal of sins by His sacrifice from you is all the clarity and vision that we as Christians will ever need. Amen.